Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode to it once a week, once every other week. The other way you're listening to this podcast is through the iTunes search engine. You just enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and the podcast pops right up for you. So definitely appreciate all the fans, all the people who've been following me for, you know, for the 19 years that I've been doing this. And for those who maybe stumbled upon some of my highlights, I definitely appreciate you guys for joining me and checking my kickboxing podcast out. Once again, I have completed another year in kickboxing highlights. So I've been doing them consistently since 2013, I think was my first one. So pretty excited to bring 2017 to you. I will talk about some things that I was able to revisit and understand just how awesome they were, all the different fight organizations that went into it. It means a lot to me that you guys watch the videos and that you share the videos because I love kickboxing. So definitely share those, and thank you again for all those who support it. I'll get into that a lot more later. First and foremost, I'm going to go ahead and get into some news. Kickboxing world, we got a, I won't say it's a bad thing, but it's definitely something that's of newsworthy. We've got some dispute going on in K1 right now. The dispute is going on between the Try Hard Gym, which, of course, for some of you guys who are, you know, longtime, you know, followers of the sport, you are familiar with that name because of the fighter Hiroya. And Hiroya is a... he's a young man who, for those of you who are, you know, maybe listening to this podcast for the first time, K1 has got some nice, young, talented stars. But once upon a time, they were trying to create a star and a kid named Hiroya. And Hiroya is a very talented kickboxer. He has a lot of good skill set, and he groomed himself into a very solid pro. He, you know, pulled off an upset victory here and there. But for the most part, he became a solid kickboxer. But once upon a time, they thought this kid was going to be the next Masato. They thought he was going to be the next big star in kickboxing. And to prepare themselves for Masato retiring, to prepare themselves for the struggles that they were having with heavyweight kickboxing in Japan, they needed to set up kickboxing in such a way where the next young star would have an opportunity. And instead of letting that star kind of create themselves through the normal circuit of winning the early fights and then kind of grooming themselves into the bigger fight opportunities, the way Masato did it, they were trying to find this individual early and get people following him. And now, again, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea to try it. But unfortunately, the execution made people just get alienated by him. And they didn't like him, more irritated by him. And it was of no fault of his own. So, for example, you want to watch the best kickboxers in the world, you're watching K1 Max. They didn't have any bad cards. Everything was all action with them. Just a really exciting brand, really, really exciting kickboxing with the best fighters in the world. And right in the middle of that, you get an exhibition between Masato and Hiroya taking up TV time. And this is like, they get a two-hour slot. We want to see the best fighters in the world in that two-hour slot. And yet they would have this exhibition, this kid's going to be the future, this kid, you know, trained with Masato and so on. And I think it really turned people away. So at the time, they were pushing Hiroya to be the kid. And it didn't work out, but to his credit, he kept working on his skill and his craft as a prize fighter, and bigger opportunities came down the road. So when he got to, what was it? I want to say 21, 22 years old, he started to travel to Japan, travel from Japan to Thailand, fought for Max Muay Thai, got some good international victories. I even think he went out to Holland, trained for a little bit. He really put the effort in to turn himself into a good prize fighter. And today, he'll pull off the upset here and there. He's a good fighter. He's a person who people will tune in to watch. To imagine that he is now in a place where he's developed business savvy. The Try Hard Gym is something he started very early. He was like 18 years old when he started. So here we are, 9 years, you know, down the road after that gym's been open, 9-8 years. And the kid who they're pushing to be the star is now in contract disputes with K1 over how they dealt with him, over how they've been, you know, financially taking care of his athletes. Now, who knows? This could be because of Rizin's, you know, emergence. Maybe there's an offer that's a little bit better from Rizin for his athletes, and maybe he's thinking, okay, I'm going to bring my fighters here. Maybe the bidding will mean that everybody wins in kickboxing in the end. But as a person who loves prize fighting, I want to see the best fighters in the world compete. And if you've got a recognized title in an organization, I want to see you defend it. Right now, one of the fighters from the Tryhard Gym stable is Taiga. And Taiga, of course, is a champion, and everything was looking towards Takeru Taiga. And of course, Takeru is the big star right now, the big KO hitter and the smaller weight class of, you know, 55, 57 kgs. They were going to do it again on the 21st of March, and that fight is now gone. Instead, they are going to strip Taiga of his title, and, you know, who knows? Maybe they figure things out contract-wise, but as it stands, they're going to, you know, strip him of his title, and they are going to move Takeru to fight for the vacant title against another opponent, hopefully someone that we know, but clearly disappointed to hear that news, but I understand the business of it, you know, and in the end, as I said before, maybe Rizin's throwing some money out there and K1's going to have to, you know, pay their guys more to keep their guys. And that's a win for the prize fighters. Or maybe they work something out where they, you know, can fight in both. But I still want the best fighters in the world to fight the best fighters in the world. And because you only have so many of the smaller weight fighters, I would love it if Taiga was able to work this out and get himself back into the organization. But as I said before, Taiga, Hiroya, you guys got to take care of yourselves as prize fighters, and you got to make sure you're getting the right kind of money. So hopefully they work it out and we get more fights from them down the road. Also from that card, Gunapar was supposed to fight Rukia, and of course Rukia is the guy who had the double kick head kick. You know, it's one of the better KOs you're ever going to see. A really good stuff from him last year. Looks like their bout is canceled and they are trying to find a replacement for Gunapar. We'll see if that works out. And, you know, I want to see Gunapar is all action. He's a really good Thai fighter that's fighting kickboxing because he's got the right kind of recklessness. You know, he brings the power. He believes in his offense and he's not going to just kind of touch and go. He's not going to rest in the Thai game. He's looking to get guys out of there if he can. So he's really entertaining style-wise. Not that there's anything against people who like to play the game, like to score and move. I'm just saying the kickboxing product is at its best when people are consistently landing offensive techniques on one another. So I like to see that in my combat sports. And there are days where I like to see the smoothness and the slickness. But if you were like, hey, if you had to watch one kind of card all day, which kind of card do you want? The one with a guy like Gunapar or the one with a guy who's playing the game, you know, touch and go and teeps and, you know, clinches and not for me on a long basis and a kickboxing match. If I'm watching stadium Muay Thai, you bring that clinch on, baby. You know, I want to see Muay Thai. I want to see that the best guys in the world, you know, really do hardcore clinch offense in those kind of bouts. But if I get clinched in my kickboxing and you're just holding on and it turns to a bunch of holds, I don't want to see it. Gunapar always brings the action. That's why he's one of my favorite ties to see in kickboxing. Hopefully they find a replacement for his opponent. Got a shout out to Babalu Jack. He is one of the guys who broke that news. Definitely on Twitter, Babalu Jack, find him. He was the one who broke the news about the trouble with Tryhard Gym and K1. So definitely want to cite my source there. Good guy to follow on Twitter for those who are interested. Also, in the news department, we'll go ahead and go to Glory Kickboxing. Of course, a lot of you guys know that I work for Glory Kickboxing. I help with the matchmaking and some of the other responsibilities that deal with the fighters in the United States as far as that's kind of where I work as far as where Glory is concerned. But the big news that came out, of course, is Muhammad Jiraiya. I mentioned before, he is signed with Glory Kickboxing, and despite the fact that he is, you know, and what I would say, a better place. He's in a place where he's able to compete on the world stage because he really does have high-level skills, and he really is one of the more entertaining fighters in the world. The situation with what's going on with his contracts and, or excuse me, his suspension. So there's a little bit news that more news that came out on that. Basically, what happened was last year, for those of you who don't remember and those of you who do, he got into an altercation with the ref after one of his fights, the fight with Luke Barry, if I remember correctly, that took place in Infusion. And after the fight was over with, he got into a, you know, after the combat sports contest was over with, he got into a fight with the referee, and of course it wasn't a good look. It was caught on film, and he was suspended for what was 2 years at the time. Then I guess they had some sort of meeting, and he came in person, and he apologized, and that really went a long way for them. And then it was agreed that his 2 years was then reduced to 1 year, and then from another source, that 1 year was reduced to 10 months, which means that he would be able to compete for Glory on the first weekend in March. Confusing, I know, but it really is the best in terms of what I'm feeling. I feel like it was the best possible situation. Dry did have to set out something, you know, and some people are like, wait, why can't you stick next to the 2 years? I didn't want it to be 2 years anyways. I'll just go ahead and say it. Plus, he fought outside of the fought for the organization outside of Holland. So a lot of people felt like he wasn't punished at all. But I do think that they put the foot down and said, there has to be some sort of punishment. There was a punishment. You can't just go hitting refs. You know, there should have been. I was fine with a fine and then a month length of punishment. But I didn't want him to lose anything in his career. We don't make enough money in kickboxing for people to have that happen. So when I look at this situation, I look at how it all came together, and I look at where it is now, I think despite the fact that there were some weird things said in the language, one of the things that the commission said was they wanted to make sure that he was at a different gym. And I'm not a big fan of that because basically they're suggesting that the reason for this altercation was where you learned and not what you did, you know. And I think that there should have been, I'm 100% fine with, I'm a fighter, I'm an athlete, I really want to compete, but I made a mistake, and I should pay for this mistake with time, and it wasn't my corner's fault, it was me. Even though they were in on the altercation, I'm not saying that they are scot-free from this. His corner did do some things as far as that goes. I thought that it was weird that the commission said, I'm okay with reducing your time if one of the things you do is leave your team. Just because I think that's, I just look at it from a court, you know, circumstances. And if there's like a gang fight outside and one of the kids gets brought in and they go, hey, I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm going to go only give you 6 months in juvenile. The only thing is, after this, I will reduce your 6 months to 2 months if you promise that you're never going to hang around that gang again. I just don't think it's something that you can accomplish as a legal entity on an individual, just in terms of that kind of language. I understood what they were doing. What they're trying to say is, be around more professionals, more people like you, more positive people. I understand that, and I understand that if you were to go to like men's homes or like group homes for like young boys and stuff like that, they say, hey, you've got to be around these kind of individuals or else. And I think that that all makes sense. But I really thought that that was weird language coming from a commissioning body to say, this is what your life has to be. That came off strange to me. But the big picture of what it's trying to accomplish made a lot of sense to me in terms of, you are a fantastic athlete, Muhammad Jiraiya. Who do you have to have around you to make sure you're still pursuing this dream full? And the news is that he's at Collision Gym now. And, of course, that's got Bastadi and, you know, so many other high-level kickboxers that compete around his weight class. I'm glad that it's worked out now, that his time will be served, and that he'll be able to compete against the best in the world. Because he's good. He is really good. He's all the way up to 77 kgs, which just freaks me out. I forget that when I first saw him, he was 17 years old, and he's competing at, you know, 65 kgs, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this kid's going to be killer if he could stay around that 65 kg. And then he got to 70 kgs, and I thought, okay, even that's a little bit big. And then he competed in the Infusion League tournament at what was 160 pounds, and I'm like, I can't believe that this guy is growing like this, he should fight smaller. But I keep forgetting, I saw him at 17. I didn't see him when he was, 20 and 21. I was introduced to him when he was still a small guy. Whereas another example would be Ilias Blade, who I also saw as a younger man. His body is still stayed in a place where he's able to compete at that smaller weight class. It wasn't the same for Jiraiya, and he's now all the way up to 77 kgs. That's a good-sized guy. So we'll see how his body holds, and we'll see how he does competing. He's going to go against Miles Simpson and the Glory event in Holland, and I'm excited to see this guy compete. And I'm glad that it's all out of the way. But, man, a 2-year suspension that went down to a 1-year suspension that went down to a 10-month suspension. No fine. Hopefully it's all done. It's all in the past. And Jiraiya's got good people around him. And he's able to just go out there and fight the best fighters in the world. He really is good enough to be talked about on a regular basis. So let's see where that goes. I'm going to go ahead and jump into some of the results that happened. Very, very recent results. First of all, we'll talk about Yotsen Klai Fairtex as he makes his return. Yotsen Klai competing now at 70 kgs on a regular basis. Yotsen Klai, when he was one of the better fighters in the world, I believe he won the Lumpini title at 141 and then put on weight after that. And then he had his first big international bout. And the fight that introduced him to the world was the fight with John Wayne Parr when the WBC went to Muay Thai. When they first got introduced to the Muay Thai title, it was a big deal. It's big news that a boxing recognized organization would go into, Muay Thai and have a legit title. It's, not the same now, but in the beginning, it was big news. It was all the rage. And he fought in Australia against John Wayne Parr. You can look that fight up. And he got the victory there. And then he had the opportunity to fight in K1. And he got the victory there as well. He beat Kamir Elamrani. And he just went on to have a really solid career. But 70 kgs wasn't in his picture anymore because K1 didn't keep him. So instead he campaigned and became a legend fighting at 75 and 77 kgs. I believe he fought John Wayne Parr at 75. So most of his time, winning contender show, fighting international, he fought bigger. And then about 4 years ago, he decided that he was going to commit to a smaller body, get to see if he can get back to 70 kgs. Worked out really well for him. All of a sudden, he's ripped up. He's got abs. He never had abs before, but he's got, abs, and he's got a strong frame, and he was able to have a lot of success at 70 kgs, just showing the kind of talent this guy is. So he fought Enrico Kill today at 70 kgs, I believe, and it was really good to see him against that level of opposition. Enrico Kill, very good. Of course, he's got that weird victory over Bacow in a very close fight. He's also got the, a loss to Bacow in a one-sided fight. But Enrico Kill has been around the block, and he's fought some of the best guys in the world. And he is going to give you a professional look at the highest level. Even though he's not the elite level, he's still a legit A-class fighter. And Yotsen Klai was just too strong for him. Anything that Kiel scored, which, he had his moments, it just wasn't strong enough to stop Yotsen Klai. A lot of people, we talked about last year the possibility of Yotsen Klai fighting Bukau, a fight that I still believe will never happen. But the thing that I do like about the idea of it, or thing that I like about the idea of those two competing, is I want to see what Bukau would do with the size and strength. Because I really can't see how, he would beat Yotsen Klai, because Yotsen Klai is so strong for the weight class. So the things that Bukau do wouldn't hold up against a guy that physical. But perhaps he's got a different game plan. Perhaps he could play distance. He's so skilled. Like people forget how skilled Bukau is. And they know him for his talent, and he is talented. But, man, he just blows you away with how strong he is. With Yotsen Klai, how strong he is. And Bukau blows you away with how skilled he is. So I'd love to see what happens when these guys get together somewhere down the road. We'll go ahead and go into the next result that I wanted to talk about. This one was, it's not a fight that I guess anybody would, go crazy about, but it's just something to look for in terms of he could be a star down the road. Yang Zhao, that would be Yang Zhuo, gets a victory over Jonathan Tehu. Yang Zhao is a, you know, Chinese fighter who, I guess the best way to describe it is he's got tricks on top of tricks. So the kind of skills and the kind of things that he brings to the table when he's out there kickboxing, a sidekick is a basic, you know, fun technique for him. A hardcore technique for him would be something like jumping kicks, spin on top of a spin, on top of a spin. Like, he likes to play with all those kind of things. So a guy to watch moving forward to see if he can continue to have success playing with all those tools against elite level guys. But he really is out there having fun with double kicks and axe kicks and everything. So shout out to Kaposa, who posted some of the clips from him. And I remember I watched him fight before. I noticed it, but I didn't think much of it. But Grabaka Hitman did a great job, the gentleman on Twitter, of breaking down just some of the antics that this guy brings to the table. So something to watch. Something to watch for sure. The other result that I mean, probably the last result I'm going to talk about on today's show, is the Tai Yinghao victory over Gabriel Varga. Gabriel Varga is in a really interesting spot. Gabriel Varga is a guy who I would say his most notable fight was when he beat Yurtzilla on the K1 card. When K1 brought, you know, came to America, that the K1 USA version of the brand. He did a good job when he burst on the scene and, got a victory there. It wasn't the most exciting fight, but he was bringing steady kickboxing, whereas Lurzilla was kind of doing the flash. So after that, I was like, I'll pay attention to this guy a little bit more. And he had some really good kickboxing performances out there. And after those kickboxing performances, he had some international opportunities, got to fight for Glory, became Glory champion. He lost the title later, but he got to fight the best in the world. And it just goes to show just how talented and how good a resume he is. I was there when he beat Suhir Adamchuk, squirted down in him the day that he took the title. Really good stuff for him. And then after maybe contract dispute, maybe, you know, just looking for another adventure, he decides to leave the Glory Kickboxing brand and go to Bellator. The idea of him going to Bellator is to set up a fight with him and Kevin Ross, but unfortunately, it just isn't lined up. First, Kevin Ross goes out there and gets a victory, and then, you know, Gabriel Varga goes out there and takes a loss. So then you can't do the fight with one guy coming off a loss, one guy coming off a win. So then they rematch the fight, and Varga, you know, is able to have success his next time out. Then this past December, November, if I can't remember the exact date, then we have Kevin Ross running into a loss. So we're trying to get these guys to both win and then fight for the brand, but it just hasn't happened yet. So looking for activity, Gabriel Varga goes to China, and he runs into Tai Yinghao, and Huo beats him. And definitely shout out to Tai. He's very, very talented. He's a good kickboxer. I want to see more from him moving forward. But I think he needs to be moved in a way where he can get himself to go against the elite. And what I mean by that is I think too much of him is too much of how China moves athletes is just to get them wins on TV and make maybe local stars. But if you want to make the claim that you're the best in the world, you've got to move your athletes in such a way. Now, maybe just go through the liver kick rankings and find yourself a guy. You know, maybe that's the way you do it. It's not necessarily the case, but I'm saying look for opportunities to move your athletes to be the best in the world. I feel like instead they're just trying to pay good, and they do pay good. They're going to pay their athletes good and make sure their athletes are winning. But I want to see some of the talent they've got in, you know, that they got in Japan. And the way they've got talent in Thailand and the way they got talent in England, I want those athletes in China to have the international opportunities and the international opposition of some of the bigger combat sports countries. So when you think about kickboxing, when you think about Muay Thai, don't just look at China as you're going to go there and get a big check. Look at China as, oh, this kid fights there. I want to fight this guy. So Wang Qihan, for example, Wang Qihan, strong, one of the biggest KO threat of all the female fighters on the planet. I think about her competing, everything in me is like, I want to see more. I want to see this athlete in the highest level. So that's the only thing that's missing, I feel, from the Glory kickboxing brand this coming up year. Or excuse me, from the Chinese kickboxing brand. It's just moving their athletes to be the best in the world because they have put on great shows and they have, good talent. It's just you gotta set this gentleman up to go against a Masaba Imrani type next. It's gotta be, is he gonna, a Liam Harrison, like a, not necessarily those guys, but I'm saying in the mold of those guys, move yourself in a direction to fight the elite. So I hope that that's what happens with Tang Yihao, and we'll see what happens moving forward. Go ahead and wrap the show up. As I said, be a little bit shorter show today. I want to wrap it up and talk about the putting together the highlight. Man, there's just so much. So I apologize if you are an athlete and you had a great KO or a great highlight and I didn't get it in there. Everybody knows how much I love Wang Qihan, as I mentioned before. Normally, I get a lot of her fight stuff in here. This year, I didn't get as much of her stuff in, and I had to make cuts. I had a female fight of the year, and I didn't get the female fight of the year in the highlight this year. Like, I just realized it just the other day. I was like, man, I didn't get that highlight in. And maybe, and as I say it out loud to myself, maybe I go back and put that in there. It's like stuck in my head. But it shows that, come to think of it, I think I am going to go back and put that highlight in. But it just means that the best fighters in the world, there's so many of them, there's so many fight organizations. And I mean, I can't, it just kept going. I did Glory, of course, K1, Lion Fight. Three different organizations from China, Kunlun, WLF. I did Phoenix. I did Stadium Muay Thai as usual. I just kept seeing more and more highlights, more and more fights to add to it, and I just realized this ain't going away. This is the never-ending job. So hopefully you guys don't jump on me too much about what didn't make it, but I really enjoyed putting the highlight together. Some of the KOs that really, brought back memories to me. I forgot how awesome the KO was with Hammer Lane and Brian Collette in Chicago. That was a really, really mean KO. That was some awesome stuff. Like, I completely forgot how awesome that KO was. It's weird to land in an angle where a guy kind of spins the opposite way against you. So definitely big time score there. And Collette's still, a solid fighter. He's just taken some stoppages, some stoppage losses lately. And of course, that's gonna always have people against you. But definitely big time KO there. I got a great clip of the Rico Verheerven stoppage of Ben Sadiq. The one that they have on TV and on the broadcast for Glory was cool, but I got one from the audience, which was just absolutely fantastic. It's just a great view and just the response and the crowd. It's one of my favorite clips that I've ever added to a highlight. So definitely good stuff there. Sanchai, I got a clip of Sanchai being Sanchai. I laughed at myself because he hugged the guy and kissed the guy on the cheek. He's just a funny guy. He did that in during the fight. Like, they were in the clinch. He jumped up and locked onto the guy and kissed him on the cheek and smiled to the crowd. You're winning dominantly when you can do some stuff like that. So definitely good stuff there. The ladies, definitely cool to see. I was able to get different women from different organizations. Clearly, have some of the regulars, Urina Barnes, Iman Barlow. But it was nice to get a lot of Anissa Hadou in this one. She's an up-and-coming fighter, very, very talented. She's at a different weight class. Clearly, a fight I'd like to see with her would be her and Antonina Shevchenko. That would be an awesome fight to put together. But it was really fun to see how many of the ladies I was able to get into this one. Good action. Melanie Higg has had a good year this year. Of course, she went out to Japan, had some success. After having mixed results her whole career, she had a really big year, even though she lost the title in December. But she won it. She scored some downs. She came back. She won another fight. She even won an MMA. She had a big year last year until she ran into that loss at the end of the year. But just good stuff. And even as we speak, I saw her post that she took a full rules Muay Thai fight. She said she had never done it before. She'd always done like a modified version of it, not full rules, or hasn't done it in a while. Maybe I misunderstood her post, but shout out to her. Always out there. Melanie Higgins from Holland. Fight whoever. She's going against, Christy Bereton, and that is in in England. So awesome that she would, you know, put herself out there and keep competing. I want to see more. I want to see more of the best fighters in the world. Jian Wen Par got a couple, you know, stoppages from him. Jian Wen Par is just an awesome kickboxer, awesome Muay Thai fighter who's up there in age but loves it. Doesn't want to walk away from the sport, wants to keep competing. And, you know, the Bellator has done a great job of bringing him guys that he can compete well against. Some of the clips that I got from Bellator weren't as clean because they haven't put a lot of their stuff out there. Usually, if you don't catch it on the broadcast, you can't get it. So the clips that I got from them, I apologize if the HD isn't as clean as you would like. You know, I know people definitely want, you know, clean pictures, but I did the best that I could with what I was able to find online. But they had a lot of good athletes, and Kevin Ross did some good stuff in his kickboxing, so got him in there. And Georgia Petrosian didn't fight for a major organization on TV this year, but I was still able to find some clips of his fights. I love the game, so I was happy to see some of these guys who I thought were gone, and that was really, really cool to see them out there, you know, on the highlight, getting their big KOs, and, you know, Artem Vakhadov, it blows me away how good he is. When I was revisiting the film and some of the KOs, and it was just fun. It's just such a fun thing to do, to see the highlight come together and to see the athletes have the success that they've had. So definitely shout out to the athletes and all the people who have anything to do with the kickboxing sport that I love. Thank you. Continue to support the sport, continue to support the athletes, and, you know, God bless you all, and thank you for being a part of my kickboxing journey. Please listen to the podcast more, tell your friends about it, and also, when you get the highlight, when you see the highlight, feel free to post it wherever, whatever website, whatever forum, whatever Facebook, feel free to do that. I really do appreciate it, and I really do love kickboxing. So thank you for your time, and everybody have a good one. Peace.